Bodhicitta, you remove all distress for the devotees who surrender unto you. That you have allowed me to see you is all the benediction I want. Text 5. Grihitva jatayodhyasya srimat padabja darshanam mamasa yoga pakvena sabhavane shikosharaha. Translation. Such demigods as Lord Brahma achieve their exalted positions simply by seeing your beautiful lotus feet after their minds had become mature in yoga practice. And now, my Lord, you have personally appeared before me. Report. Markandeya Rishi points out that exalted demigods like Lord Brahma achieved their position simply by glimpsing the Lord's lotus feet. And yet, Markandeya Rishi was now able to see the Lord's entire body. Thus, he could not even imagine the extent of his good fortune. Atap yam bhuja patraksha punya shloka sikamana drakshe mayam dayalu kaha sapalo vedasatidham. Translation. O lotus-eyed Lord, O crest jewel of renowned personalities, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I do wish to see your illusory potency, by whose influence the entire world, together with its ruling demigods, considers reality to be materially variegated. Purport. A conditioned soul sees the material world to be constituted of independent, separate entities. Actually, all things are united, being potencies of the Supreme Lord. Markandeya Rishi is curious to witness the exact process by which Maya, the Lord's bewildering potency, casts living beings into illusion. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnanam Jana Kalakaya Chakshurum Namitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Mukham Karoti Vata Lankam Kun Nangai Te Gide Yat Kripa Tarham Bande Sri Gurun Dinakaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyasharam. So, Markandeya Rishi is having the darshan of the Supreme Lord, and he is very much appreciating the exaltedness of other devotees who had achieved positions simply by seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions that here Markandeya Rishi is seeing the entire form of the Lord. Although devotees like Lord Brahma, simply by witnessing or having darshan of the Lord's lotus feet, was able to obtain such an exalted position. So he was imagining his good fortune. And certainly anyone who has darshan of the Lord is greatly fortunate. And the Lord has different aspects. He has his form, his rupa. He has his lila, his pastimes. And he also has his name, the holy name. So all these different aspects of the Lord are transcendental. And anyone who comes in contact with them is fortunate, just like Markandeya Rishi was fortunate to be able to have the darshan of the Lord's form. In the same way, and specifically in this Kali Yuga, one is fortunate if they're able to hear the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada had so much emphasis on performing sankirtan, because by this performance of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, people will become fortunate. Just like Markandeya Rishi was feeling himself so greatly fortunate that he had darshan of the Supreme Lord, in the same way, ordinary people, conditioned souls, can become greatly fortunate simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, devotees go out and they perform Harinam Sankirtan, and the chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Because in this way, they can make people fortunate. People may not have acquired any so-called transcendental credits, but simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord chanted by devotees, they get some bank account with Krishna. They get some credit account with Krishna, which they will never lose. In the material world, whatever they're working for, whatever fame they get, whatever power they get, whatever wealth that they accumulate, at the end of the body, it's all for naught because it's finished. They can't take any of it with them. Their bank account materially becomes zero. And that's why Markandeya Rishi was so interested to know how this material energy is working, that people are foolishly spending all their efforts and all their time for things that are not going to last. They're only temporary. And therefore, he wanted to know how this actually is all working. Actually, the conditioned soul has sufficient experience in the material world of how the material world is working and how the material energy is working to bewilder us, because at every point we're bewildered by the covering of this material body, both gross and subtle. And therefore, the devotees of the Lord, they're interested to know about Krishna's internal potency. And they want to know more about how Krishna is interacting with his devotees in the spiritual world, and already having sufficient experience about how the material energy can bewilder the conditioned soul, bewilder us. So this chanting of the holy name is the key to having the eternal darshan of the Lord, to always be with the Lord. For those persons that are very much attached to sense gratification, Srila Prabhupada recommends in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that they meditate on the Virata Rupa of the Lord, the Lord's manifestation in this material world. And that we can see all around us. Whenever people get time off, they many times they go out into nature. They go out into the mountains and go hiking, or they go camping. And in this way, they communicate with the universal form of the Lord, because he explains that the trees or the hairs on his body and the mountains are his backbone, the sun and the moon are his eyes. And like that, there's this universal form. So that's for persons that are very much attached to the idea of enjoying in this material world. But for the devotees of the Lord, they're attached to the form of the Lord. They like to see the Lord nicely dressed, just like we see here, Radha, Shyam, Sundar, Krishna, Balaram, and Gaur Nitai, with beautiful garlands and so nicely decorated. Right? This is what attracts the devotees of the Lord, because they are more advanced than the materialists. They understand the temporary and falsity nature of this material world, and that it's not a place of happiness, and that their efforts should be to please the Lord. Because by pleasing the Lord, they also become satisfied. The devotees of the Lord, they understand this principle, and therefore, they're attracted by the Lord's form, they're attracted by the Lord's holy name, they're attracted by the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, of course, Markandeya Rishi is an elevated devotee, but at the same time, he was interested to understand how this material energy is bewildering the conditioned souls. So, Srila Prabhupada has requested us to spread this holy name of the Lord, to spread the congregational chanting of the holy name, so that we'll become benefited, because the Lord is residing within the heart of all living entities. In this material world, he's taken a back seat in the farm of the Paramatma, and he's trying to, and he's waiting there for the conditioned souls to reawaken their interest in him. And the devotees can spark that interest by giving the conditioned souls an opportunity to become a little bit pious through hearing the holy name of the Lord, understanding the Lord's transcendental nature, by getting one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And in this way, they obtain some piety so that they can actually understand the Lord and his form and his pastimes. So this activity of trying to help the conditioned souls is very beneficial for the devotees of the Lord also, because the Lord sees that the devotees are trying to propagate his message and propagate his holy name, and then he becomes very inclined to them. And if one can awaken the Lord's interest in him, then that's the success of life. So this is recommended by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that one spread his message. He says no one is more dear to him than one who spreads his message, and that's there in the Bhagavad Gita. And then the other part of the equation is that the devotees of the Lord are recommended to serve the Tattva Darshan. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Tadvidhi pralipatena priprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas Tattva Darshanaha, that one should find out the Tattva Darshan and render service unto him, and also to inquire from him. So by this, Srila Prabhupada is the secret to success, to render service to the devotee of the Lord, and to hear from him. And therefore, this is our process, that we are hearing from the devotees of the Lord, and we want to render some service to the Lord. And when the Lord, who's residing within the heart, sees that sincerity of the devotee to hear and to render service, then he's inclined to give his darshan. So, and that is the perfection of life for the devotee. So today is also the disappearance day of Baladev Vidyabhushan. And so I thought I would tell a little bit about his glories on this day. Baladev Vidyabhushan was from Orissa. And he had, although he was from a Vaishya family, excelled in grammar and Sanskrit, and he became very expert at that. And later on, he came in contact with a devotee that was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and he understood the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, as explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became connected with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was very old at that time. So he began to render service to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who became very inclined toward him and gave him his mercy. And at that time in Jayapur, there was a lot of pressure on the Jayapur king from the Ramanandis, from the devotees from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. They had the idea that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were sentimentalists, and they didn't feel that the worship of Radharani was appropriate. So they had put so much pressure on the king that he had taken the Radharani off the altar, Govindaji was standing there alone. And he also was, forced to not allow the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to render service to the deities. So he didn't like this at all, but he sent out a message to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to, give him some help. At that time, Vishwanath was very old, and so he sent Baladev Vidyabhushan to Jaipur, who, when he went to the king's court, he met with the Ramanandis, and he explained very nicely the Siddhanta of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and how it was authorized and it was proper sampradaya. And he spoke very brilliantly. But still they weren't satisfied because they said that, in order to be a bona fide, sampradaya, you have to have an explanation of Vedanta Sutra. So he tried to explain to them that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the actual explanation of, Vedanta Sutra. But still they weren't satisfied. And they gave Baladev 13 days to actually come up with a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So he was a little perplexed by this, and he went to Govindaji and he prayed. And Govindaji told him, "Don't worry, I will dictate to you the Vedanta Sutra. You simply note everything." So that's what happened. And he wrote everything down, and he came before the Ramanandis in the court of the king, and he read Vedanta Sutra. The Govinda Bhashya, he called it, the explanation of Vedanta Sutra according to Govinda. So he called it Govinda Bhashya. And they were all amazed by that, and they were ready to even surrender and take initiation from Baladev Vidyabhushan, but he was insisting that they not do that because they were from another sampradaya, and there was no need for that. So in this way, the king was very pleased. Again, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas began to worship Govindaji, Radharani was put back, so everything was done very nicely. And later on, Baladev Vidyabhushan, because it's not his commentary, it's Govinda Bhashya, it's Govinda's. So what devotees mostly study is his commentary on the, commentary of Govindaji on the Vedanta Sutra, which is called Smuksha Tika. Okay? Shukshma Tika. So that is very famous, the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhushan on Govinda Bhashya. And that's what many scholars study. So Baladev Vidyabhushan is an exalted devotee of the Lord, and we can on this day pray for his mercy so that we may become advanced in our devotional service. The other thing that is today is the Ganga Puja. So I had the opportunity once to be just by chance in Haridwar on this day. And what happens is that there are many people that come to Haridwar and there's a big artik that is offered to the Ganga on this day in Haridwar. And many people offer a small lamp in a leaf cup, and they float that lamp down the Ganga as a form of worship of Ganga Mai. As we all know, the Ganga flows down from the toe of Lord Vishnu, and therefore is very spiritual. And many people in India, they have a vrata to daily worship the Ganga by going and taking bath and offering some small amount of water to the Ganga. There was this one person that he lived in Allahabad, and he was, you know, this was many years ago, and we were getting the Hindi Srimad Bhagavatam translated by a professor that lived in Allahabad, and he worked in Allahabad University. And although he was a professor in chemistry, he used to translate. His name was Shiv Gopal Mishra, and he was translated into Hindi. In those days, we didn't have so many devotees that were proficient in Hindi. But there was another Sharma, Mr. Sharma. His family was organizing the printing. And in those days, there wasn't available in India so much typesetting, so they would take a lead type and make a line, and then make a page, and then on a what they call a letter press, they would take out one copy, and then it would be corrected like that. So Mr. Sharma, he would do that work. And every once in a while, I'd have to go to Allahabad and meet Mr. Mishra, Professor Mishra, and also Mr. Sharma. So one thing that Mr. Sharma would do every day, his house wasn't so close to the Ganga, but he would take a bus every day to the Ganga and take whatever, you know, rain, cold, whatever it was, and he would take his bath and offer his pranams to the Ganga every day. You know, he was about 75 or 80 years old, but he was very strong and very fit, and he contributed it to the fact that every day he took bath in the Ganga. And so that's the glories of Ganga. It's known to many persons that daily taking bath in the Ganga can keep us spiritually as well as materially enlivened. But these opportunities are actually, you know, evading us. If you're living in Vrindavan, you can't actually find the Jamuna anymore. She's not really coming to Vrindavan. And there was a big agitation at one time by one Baba from, I think he's in Barshana, what's his name? Ramesh Baba. So he had started this agitation that because what happens is that the Jamuna comes down just before Delhi in Haryana, and then they divert all of her waters for irrigating the rice fields in Haryana. All the basmati rice that you buy at Walmart, it comes from Haryana, and it's irrigated by Jamuna water. But she actually doesn't flow, you know, down through Vrindavan, even through Delhi, even through Vrindavan. So what is in the basin of the Jamuna is the runoff from factories and cities, sewage. That's all it is. If you know, the World Health Organization went there and tested the water, there's no water there. Maybe in the rainy season when they open the gates from Haryana, but otherwise there's Jamuna, she's disappeared from there. So this Ramesh Baba's disciples were trying to make an agitation to get the government to release the water, stop the flow into Haryana, and let the Jamuna again flow through Vrindavan like that. So we organized a program in the Juhu temple. We had Hema Malini, who's a famous actress and dancer, come, and other dignitaries to speak about how this should happen. And you know, one point that came to my mind is that, you know, the Jamuna is completely independent. If she wants to come to Vrindavan, she can come. No, who'll stop her? But she's not wanting to come because of the sinful activities that are happening, even in the so-called holy places, right? In the holy places of Vrindavan, there's so much sin, so much nonsense that's going on. If you know, just after you turn off the highway that goes on to the Taj, you know, Agra and the Taj Mahal, and they call it Bhakti. It's supposed to be Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, but I think they still call it Chatikara Road. But if just after you turn the corner, there's this huge temple of Durga. Right? So even in Vrindavan, where once demigod worship never happened except for Gopeshwar and, you know, some of the demigods that are the Dikpals of Vrindavan. This, you know, demigod worship is going on in Vrindavan. So many things are there, and, you know, therefore the places and the pastimes and the things that are related to Krishna are slowly becoming invisible, you know, and it won't be long before people will not be able to have darshan of all these transcendental places, unless there's a revival of the developing bhakti. Right now there's a kind of kitchery going on where people are interested in karmakanda activities, and they're trying to mix it up with activities are actually in connection with Krishna. And one example is this, the appearance of Radha Kun. What's it called? Bahulastami. Bahulastami, yeah. You know, back in the 70s, there were just a few devotees that would come for Bahulastami, you know, for the appearance of Radha Kun. And it was at night. It was a very kind of private affair, just a few devotees. But now, it's a whole, what do they call in Hindi? They call it jamela. You know, it's so crowded. It's like you can't even get in or even get close to the Radha Kun. But all these people are there for some kind of material benefit. It's not about bhakti. You know, they're going around Govardhan Hill trying to be successful in their business or be successful in their material endeavors, right? Because there's a great paucity of preaching to them about what these activities are. Govardhan Parikrama, the taking bath in Radha Kun, it's all become mixed up with a kind of karmakanda idea. So the solution is that there needs to be a lot more preaching, especially in Vrindavan and the places connected to Vrindavan. And there needs to be a lot more purification of the people so that they actually understand what is bhakti and what is the purpose of performing bhakti. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments, reflections? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Well, thank you very much for coming and visiting, and thank you for the very nice class. I just wanted just a small thing on Baladeva Vidyabhushana. Now, I believe Srila Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavad Gita,
yes,
isn't it, to Baladeva? So, did Baladeva Vidyabhushana also wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita? I've never seen it, but I assume that there was such a commentary, right?
Part of Govinda. The five subject matters from Govinda.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but there's a list of his books that you can find on the internet. A commentary on the Gita, maybe one of the, you know, it's just a title of the book that's there. Maybe one of them is there.
Prabhu, you mentioned that Markandeya Rishi was interested to see the material workings. Is there a difference or a percentage of time which should be spent, you know, studying in our own study of the material nature versus trying to hear about the spiritual world and the activities there? How do we balance that? Without, we don't want to be sahajas, I guess, just going all spiritual world, but do you have some comments on that?
Well, if you go progressively through Srimad Bhagavatam, there is that balance there. We find certain parts of the Bhagavatam before you get to the 10th canto that deal exclusively with the conditioned soul's entanglement in the material world and how the material world conditions and captures the conditioned soul. So I think that if, you know, one is progressively studying Srimad Bhagavatam, that balance is, you know, definitely there. One can't jump directly to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and expect to understand them without going and understanding how great Krishna is. And one of his energies is the material energy and how it captures the living entities. That's insurmountable. Very difficult. It's impossible to overcome the material energy. But then Krishna says in the same verse that tarantite, that you can easily overcome it by surrender. So in order to come to that platform of surrender to Krishna, we have to understand how great Krishna is. And one of his aspects is the material nature. So certainly there, if you meet any big person, he has his official aspect. He may be the mayor of Alachua, right? So that's his official position. But he also has his personal life. You know, he has his wife, he has his children, he might have a girlfriend, who, you know, you don't know. Right? And neither, when you're just, when you don't know him, neither can you ask about it, right? You don't have that, right, relationship. So, the same way with the Supreme Lord, he has his official aspect, and therefore, unless you get to know him, how can you really understand his personal aspect and his relationships with his devotees? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, you know, if you look at his lectures, he would stress the greatness of Krishna, and he would extol the glories of Krishna in his lectures, so that we would appreciate how great Krishna is, so that we could actually understand in a personal way his relationships with his devotees in Vrindavan.
Thank you.
So if you look for it, Srila Prabhupada was much more on extolling the glories of Krishna and explaining his energies and even how the material energy works rather than talking so much about the pastimes. Yes?
Prabhu, you mentioned our spiritual bank account. The spiritual bank account never is always there, will always be there. However, I'm wondering, would Vaishnava Aparad deplete one's bank account totally, you know?
Well, it can certainly detour us. You'll have that credit.
You will.
It's not a
loss. Stay.
But you would be, you know, so to speak, taking a big detour away from being able to make further progress. Unless and until you go back to the devotee, the Vaishnavas, offer pranams, you know, and beg their forgiveness, then it wouldn't be possible to, you know, increase your bank account.
Or to even access what's there?
It would be difficult. So Vaishnava Aparad is compared to the, you know, the mad elephant. It's very detrimental to devotional service. So therefore every day Prabhupada had us do Vanchakalpa Thirubhyascha so that we would offer our obeisances to devotees above, and therefore avoid any inattentional offense that was there. But the real hati-mati is to, you know, break your vows to the pure devotee, not chant your rounds, not follow the principles, and giving up your faith in Krishna. This is the one that really destroys the creeper of devotional service. Not just that you shouted at somebody or got angry. That's an offense also, one has to be careful, but it's not the Hati Mata.
Thank you for the class. You were mentioning how during the time of Baladeva Vidyabhushan, the Vaishnavas were considered sentimentalist, and so he had to prove. Then we also see after that whole era when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, the same thing was considered. And again, he had to prove. He brought it back in line. And sometimes we see, you know, we see how Prabhupada has so much in everywhere, written so much philosophy, even in Krishna book, he writes so much philosophy along with the pastimes. But we see that, or at least the tendency is again there, maybe in the younger generation a little bit, where, you know, our process of chanting the holy name and sometimes the desire to hear the philosophy is not so much there as much as chanting and kirtan and like that. I guess my question is that why is that tendency of, or even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Prakashananda was saying sentimentalist. What is the reason why the tendency goes towards in that direction? And I guess you kind of mentioned already how we can stop it, but maybe if you could have some comment on that?
Well, I don't, Prakashananda Saraswati, he was a Mayavadi, and therefore his idea about spiritual life was studying Vedanta. And he saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers were simply chanting. At least that was his perception. And that therefore a real business of a sannyasi is to perform tapasya and study Vedanta. And what is all this chanting and dancing, right? So the devotees were in ecstasy, chanting the holy name of the Lord and taking Lord Jagannath's prasadam. So anyway, he felt that this is just sentimentalism. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he began to speak, then Prakashananda Saraswati could understand his mistake. But about the tendency is there. Persons may be attracted by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, but when it comes to philosophy, they may not, you know, a Prabhupada commented on that. You know, as long as the chanting was going on, people were staying in the temple room, but as soon as the lecture started, they would go away because that attraction for hearing the philosophy, you know, it's not natural. It's something that needs to be acquired. We need a certain amount of purification. So, therefore, the program is set up in such a way that we're doing practical service for Krishna. We're purifying our existence by sweeping the temple, by mopping the temple, by doing the backup services that are there for the deities. The heart becomes purified so that we can actually become attracted by the message of Krishna also. So you'll find that if there's not an attraction for hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, there probably isn't any practical devotional service being performed either. So they kind of go hand in hand. Practical duties in the service of Krishna so that we can actually have an attraction for that philosophy that comes. They go hand in hand. That's my experience. Is that all right?
So it's stated that Markandeya Rishi lived for 7 Manvantaras, but also we hear that he spent the whole night of Brahma in the ocean of devastation. So if we were to include that, that's 14 manvantaras. So I don't know if you have any idea about this, but I thought I heard he lived for 7 manvantaras. But
well, you know, the thing is that this part of the Bhagavatam is really new to me, in the sense that in most of the temples, they kind of go up to the they go up to the 10th canto, 13th chapter, and then they go back to the first canto. So it's kind of a new area from the 12th canto 5. I'm not really sure about that.
But it's in the next chapter. Chapter 10, it says...
Wait.
The next chapter, and I believe 42, 39 to 42, 43 verse says that one must believe this, that he lived for 7 manvantara and he's still existing. In that verse, Sudha Goswami is speaking that he is still existing right now in this world, the Markandeya Rishi. And we must accept that the entire day of Brahma and 7 manvantara period means the 12 hours is that's what it is. So he is still existing, and whatever the Bhagavatam is saying, that he is 7 manvantara and the day of Brahma, yes, these are all true. Sutta Goswami is saying one should believe them.
7 manvantaras, it's a long time. It's a very long time. Any other points?
I had one comment.
I just recently heard one lecture Prabhupada say that
in the beginning, we chant and people are
attracted. And when they come and they associate with the
they become more serious, then they will be interested in studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It's just very phenomenon, Prabhupada, the poet put it. And then he says, then they become more serious, then they will chant purely.
Yeah, because when they come in contact with devotees engage them. Yeah. Just like Jayananda, he'd have somebody come to the temple, he'd have them taking out the garbage or helping them build the Rath Yatra cart, and that way they got some purification by the practical devotional service to Krishna, so that they could actually understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying in Bhagavad Gita. I know I got a Bhagavad Gita, and the first time I read it, it was completely bewildering. Oh, it's daytime for the, you know, conditioned souls, it's night. I thought, well, this is, you know, what does this mean? But then when I went to the temple and they engaged me in some activities and doing something for Krishna, then slowly I could appreciate and understand. And I think that's true for everyone. Thank you very much. Ramtaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Where's your wife? Yeah. Is there a box?